last week we began to discuss some of the areas of halacha where we would have expected to aid them to be necessary. They should have met the regular criteria of the Dovah Shem HaMamon, the Dovah Shem Yerbo, perhaps the Nefashos, and yet the Torah, the Chacham of the Chiddush, that an Eid Echad is sufficient. So we spoke about the case of, to say that the husband died, to say the case of the Sota, the case of the Igla Rufa, certain situations that arise where the halacha, in a sense, overrides the regular klalim that would have required a Pishnai made of Yechom Dover. Now we move on to a whole another area of halacha, where it's not that the halacha overrides the principle of Shnei Edim. There never was a requirement of Shnei Edim. It's a totally different area of halacha. It's not a Dovah Shev Yerva, it's not Dini Nefashos, it's not Dini Mamonis. It's what we call the area of Yisurim. This is what the Gemara in the beginning of Masechet Gittin introduces to us, the principle called Eid Echad Nevim Yisurim. And the realm of just Issa V'Heter, just to identify whether something is kosher or treif, Mutar or Aser, so then the halacha tells us Eid Echad Nevim Yisurim. So the classic example of Eid Echad Nevim Yisurim as appears in Gittin, the Vez and the Vez, is a case of Safek Chel or Safek Shuman. I have a piece of meat in front of me, and I'm not sure whether it's Chel or whether it's Shuman, if it's from the prohibited fats, from the permissible fats. So where do I have to go? How do I find out what the answer is? So I don't have to go to Edim. The Gemara says, Mefarish, everybody agrees there's a principle called Eid Echad Nevim Yisurim. In fact, the Gemara contrasts that halacha of Eid Echad Nevim Yisurim to a situation of a get. That's how the sugi got there in the first place. The Gemara is discussing about whether an Eid Echad can identify that a get was written l'shma. We know that a get in a Torah has to be written l'shma. So we have no idea whether the get is written l'shma or not l'shma. So can Eid Echad come and tell us it was written l'shma? So the Gemara says, no. That wouldn't be Eid Echad Nevim Yisurim. That's Eid Dovah Shebi'erva, Pachas Mishnayim. So that's how the Gemara tries to explain what's going on with the first Mishnah in Gittin, when the Mishnah says that the Shaliach comes from Medina Sayyam and tells us the get is kosher. The whole Shachvatai of the Gemara, the Beis Masech is Gittin. But outside the realm of Gittin, outside the realm of Dovah Shebi'erva, an Eid Echad would have full Nemanus based on the principle of Eid Echad Nevim Yisurim. So it's clear for the Gemara that this is a Din Min HaTorah, and we rely on this all the time. I go to somebody's house, they tell me the food's kosher, so that's Eid Echad Nevim Yisurim, and he'll require it to aid him. So the question becomes, how do you know? Where does this come from? The Gemara never spells out for us what the source for this principle is. The Gemara assumes there's another Pashut in Gittin, in Yivamus, in Hu, in many places. Yet the Gemara never tells us where exactly we derive it from. So there is a machlekes that we show in between Rashi and Tosfos and Gittin Davbeis as to what the source for this halacha was based on. So Rashi has a very fascinating source. Rashi says there really is no source. Rashi says it's a double pashut. Rashi says it couldn't be otherwise. It's a very strange kind of a source. Why couldn't it be otherwise? Rashi said, imagine a world, imagine if the Torah would have required Shnei Edim for the realm of Yisurim. Rashi says, it wouldn't have been possible for somebody to eat in somebody else's house. How could I ever believe the sheikh? How could I ever believe a guy tell me the meat is kosher? It would be impossible. It would be, each person would have to live by themselves. Rashi doesn't even ask the more powerful question. Rashi, you couldn't believe your own wife. He said, how could a person ever walk into his house and his wife tells him the chicken's kosher? How does she know the chicken's kosher? You need to aid them to testify the chicken's kosher, to aid them to testify that truth was advice to take it off, and to aid them to testify it's not chaylev. So it's not shaykh to function like that. So Rashi says, from the fact that the Torah gave us a normal existence, it's understood part of a normal existence means you can eat at somebody else's house, that you see from Rashi. That would have been, it's inconceivable that such a concept should exist. You can't eat by other people's houses, you can't trust each other. It must be built into the system as this principle called Eid Echad Nevim Yisurim. It's an interesting ride that Rashi gives. But that's the Mokom, that's the Mokom of the Din. So Tosfos says that's not a mocker. You need a mocker. You need a pasuk. It's got to be some kind of a gzeras hakasa for this din. So Tosfos starts looking and looking and looking. Where's the mocker? Tosfos says, the mocker is as follows. A din that we spent a lot of time talking about in the last areas of halacha and Chas Nida. The Torah tells us, v'safra loshim as yomim. When a woman becomes a zava, not really nida, but she becomes a zava gedola, so she's required to count shivanikiyah. She has to count 7 clean days. So we spent a lot of time talking about what does that mean? Does that mean she has to bedikah? It's not bedikah. She has to count orally. Not that. There's a lot of lumdus as to what that phrase v'safra lo means. But the one thing is clear is that the Gemara says in Masechet Ksuvos, "V'sofra lo la'atzma," means she counts it herself. Nobody comes and tells the husband that there are 2 eidim to tell you that your wife did a bedika. There are 2 eidim that say it's time for her to go to the mikvah. V'sofra lo, the Torah says she counts lo for herself. So the Gemara says, "V'sofra lo la'atzma," that a woman has full nemanus in the realm of a Chas Nida. So comes Tosfos and says, "This halacha that a woman has nemanus in the realm of a Chas Nida, this is not the exception to the rule. This is the rule. This is the mokor. This is the very source for the principle of Eid Echad Nevim Yisurim. The reason why a woman is believed in the realm of a Chas Nida is because it's no different than telling us that the food is kosher. no different than telling us that the meat was shechted. So Eidech and Bisurin is ultimately what's driving the entire Nemanus of a woman. The whole din of Nemanus for Aisha Bechus Nida is just an expression of this general principle called Eidech and Bisurin. And not only is it an expression of this principle, it's the source of the principle. It is the mokor for this din min haTorah of Eidech and Bisurin. This is Taisa Shita in Gittin and Davbeis. So other Rishonim take issue with Taisus. The Ramban takes issue with Taisus. The Ramban says, how can you derive Hilchus Nida as the model for Eidech and Bisurin? Says the Ramban, it's like a violation of the principle, Ein Don Efshe Mish Efshe. The Gemara says that when something is impossible, otherwise, sometimes the Torah gives us certain halachas, sometimes the Torah gives us certain kulas, when otherwise it would be not shaykh. How? Imagine, says the Ramban, imagine a world, it's more problematic than Rashi, imagine a world of Hilchus Nida that wouldn't be governed by the woman's nemanus. So says the Ramban, it would be ludicrous every time the woman to say, I did a bedika, she has to bring two edim. Women wouldn't be kosher. Women are not kosher edim. So they have to have two men are going to come and testify the woman to the bedika. Two men are going to testify the woman went to the mikvah. So says the Ramban, obviously the Torah couldn't set up such a ridiculous system. So it must be that the Torah meant to tell us, suffer lo liatzma, that this is the exception to the rule. The Hilchus Nida breaks the rules. And furthermore, some Rishonim say, Hilchus Nida may be an absolute exception to the rule, because it's possible that Hilchus Nida may even be a Dabash of Yerva. We spoke about this also in the past, that when it comes to Dabash of Yerva, so an Eidechid is never believed. Maybe Nida is also Dabash of Yerva. Machlekes the Rambam, Rabbi Thomas, something Machlekes the Rishonim. We spoke about it in the Hilchus Nida Shirim. So says the Ramban, for a variety of reasons, Hilchus Nida is not a very good source at all for the general principle called Eidech Nebisur. It happens to be true, says the Ramban, that a woman is believed to say she is or is not an Eid. It happens to be true that Eich and Bisurin, but to make a correlation between the two, to say that one is the source for the other, is highly unlikely. So whatever it is, whether you go with Rashi, the Ramban's Pshat, some kind of another Mokhor, some kind of a Mokhor in between the lines or something, some interesting Mokhor, that it has to be that way. It has to be that Eich and Bisurin. Or you hold like Taisus, the Kumamish, pin it down to a very specific pasuk. It's learned out from the pasuk of Parshas Ketzora. At the end of the day, it didn't exist. There's no shaila that there is such a halacha called Eidech and Bisurin. We have to understand what the parameters of this halacha are. So the Gemara tells us in Gittin and Avdeis and Avdeis that there's one possible exception to the rule of Eidech and Bisurin, and that's the following situation. What if you have a scenario where it's not really a suffix? It's not that we have no idea. If I have a piece of meat in front of us, I have no clue whether it's chaz, whether it's not chaz, chel, not chel, 50-50 chance. So then I understand Eidech and Bisurin. But what if you have a situation where we already have some information to go on? Namely, we already have a chazaka. There's a chazaka meikara that something is awesome. So we've spoke many times already about the principle of min haTorah of chazaka. When you have a suffix, you don't know what to do, so you follow the status quo. You follow the chazaka. Bein l'kula, bein l'chumra. So says the Gemara, Maseches Gittin, Rabbeis and Rabbeis, and the Gemara in the end of Maseches Yevamos, what would the din be if I already have information? I already know that it's been also for the last 6 months, and now an Eidechid comes and wants to change that. And Eidechid wants to come and tell me that which used to be Aser is now Mutter. Would we say that's also called Eidechid and Bisurin? Or maybe we should argue that Eidechid and Bisurin is very, very limited in scope. And Eidech and Bisurin means I come to someone's house, I don't have any ideas, it's chaz, not chaz, and Eidech tells me it's not chaz, good, I can believe him. But if something has been awesome, and now the Eidech is coming to change that status, how do you know? Maybe an Eidech is not believed. So the Gemara throws this up as a question in Gittin Avdeis, and at the end of the Sefer Yevamos, the Gemara never resolves it. So the Gemara never tells you what the answer to that question is. The Gemara has a sling for a whole lot of Yevamos tumbling about this very conclusion, and the Gemara never comes to a conclusion. So Machlokes and Rishonim, what is the conclusion to that question? Is it true that an Eidech's power is limited only in a situation where there's no chazaka? But do we say that an Eidech is believed even in a situation where there is a chazaka? So the Gemara in Gittin Avdeis talks about also in the same context. When the Gemara speaks about a shaliach coming, an Eidech coming and saying that the get was written l'shma, so the Gemara says when the Eidech comes and says the get was written l'shma, he shouldn't be believed for two reasons. Number one, it's a davar shebi'erva; it's gittin oriented. That's one limitation to Eidech. And number two, the woman has a cheskes eishadish. So even if you want to deny the principle of davar shebi'erva, this is not a classic Eidech and Bisurin. This is an Eidech going up against a previous chazaka. For the last 20 years, the woman's been married. She has a cheskes iser. The Eidech walks into the Beis Din one fine day and says, by the get, this get that just arrived from Medina Sayyam was written l'shma. That's an Eidech going up against the chazaka. an Erecha going up against the Chazocha may not work. So the Gemara, again, the Gemara is not sure that that's true, but the Gemara presents that as a very real limitation, a possible limitation on the ability of an Erecha to testify. The Erecha, the Mokom Chazocha, may be unacceptable, Legamri. So the Gemara, at the end of the Masechet Yevamah, says, if that's really the case, and Erechot is not believed against the Chazaka, and we have to reevaluate a lot of things in the way we practice Erechot and Bisurin. The Gemara says, wait a second, stop, hold on. The classic application of Erechot and Bisurin is Zuchah Shechita. I give an animal to a Shechit. I don't know anything about Shechita, so I don't want to see the blood. I walk away. The Shechit shechs, the animal shechs the bird, and he hands it back to me, and he says, it's kosher, I did a good job of Shechita. So comes the Gemara and says, wait, penalty marker down. What do you mean he did a good Shechita? Who are you to say he did a good Shechita? You're an Erechot. So you want to invoke the principle of Erech and Abisurin. This is a classic example of Erech and Abisurin against the Cheskes Isser. What's the Cheskes Isser here? So unclear what the Cheskes Isser is, but one thing we know is that there is one. The Gemara has a famous comment in the first parak of Masechet Chulin, Amar Rav Huna, Behema Bechaya, the Cheskes Isser and Nedes. That a Behema, when it's still alive, it's in the status of being Cheskes Isser. It has a status of Usser to it. If I look at an animal, I look at a live chicken, I look at a live cow, so I can't eat that live cow, I can't eat that live chicken, that's for sure. It's Becheskes Isser Medes. Now I have a Shaila, was it Shechted, was it not Shechted? So every Safek in Ruch HaShechita is always going up against the Chazaka. That's what the Gemara has the Klal in the beginning of the Masechet Chulin. Kol Safek Shebeshechita L'chumra. Anytime you have a Safek in Ruch HaShechita, it means I Shechted the animal, and now I can't tell, did I cut the two Simonim, did I not cut the two Simonim, did the knife go the right way, did it go the wrong way, did it get hit? Any Safek you have in the process of Shechita will automatically, by definition, have to be pasked in the Chumra. Not just because something directs to the Chumra. More than that, you have to go to Chumra and Chashchita because Behema Bechaya Becheskes Isser Medes Ve'ena Muteres Atshiyamucha Bevada B'meshchatiyah. That anytime you have a suffix in Shchita, you automatically have a Cheskes Isser on your hands. I remember back in Moshe Kol, that was maybe before your time, I'm not sure. So we had somebody came to shecht an animal for us. I know exactly what it was. It was the fellows, the Tchelis guys. You know, there was Tzavsky. So they were, in those years, they used to shecht a lot of animals. So they used to shecht in Wahyu. They came, when someone, Moshe Kolol, they came to shecht sheep. So they got all excited. We were learning a year a day that someone. We were learning Malicha that someone. One of the things we were learning, so Rabbi Wood was all excited. We wanted to do a Malicha. That was the whole plan. So they brought him in. They caught a sheep. They wanted them to shecht the sheep. And then all of a sudden, everything got quiet. As soon as the shechita was over, so one of them said, "Is anybody here proficient in Ruch HaShechita? Want to take a look at this?" So it was dead silence. Nobody looked. He said, "We have a problem. We may have a problem with the shechita. I have to show it to another shechit." So they found a guy in Mor HaShah. He used to be one of the workers in the kitchen in Mor HaShah. It was an old Sfardi fellow. So he was a lot of the Sfardi in the shechita. So he happened to be a shechit. So he came. I remember they zoomed him over. They drove him down to take a look at this. It was a suffix of shechita. We had a suffix in a shechita. What was the problem? Remember, the guy looks at it. And this goes back. This story goes back about 30 years. And all I remember was one word. He looks at it. Nivela, nivela. That was it. That was the end. That was the psak. What was the shaila? The shaila was that it wasn't clear whether the simon had been cut barov. So the din is it, and a behemi you have to cut both simon barov. And apparently it stopped a little bit too short, and he was trying to figure out whether he had cut the rov the simon or not rov the simon. So apparently the psak was that he hadn't. It was a nivela. But even if it would have been a suffix, even if you couldn't tell, it would still be a problem because anytime you have a suffix, it would have been a suffix nivela. So anytime you have a suffix, you know, shechita, you automatically have to go to chumra because behemi bechaya becheskes isser medes. So the question is, what are the words? Why exactly is behemi bechaya becheskes isser medes? What's the cheskes isser that every behemah has? So here it's a little bit less clear. So Rashi has a comment in a few places in Shas, in Chulin, and in Beitza. Rashi says, you know why behemah is becheskes isser medes? Because there's an isser of eva menachai. Well, mind you, if you would want to take a bite out of a live sheep or out of a live bird, you wouldn't be able to do that. Even a goy wouldn't be able to do that. It's an Hashem mitzvah b'neinach. So kavachom, we're not allowed to do that. So says Rashi, every behemah has a cheskes isser. So for the last 5 years of this animal's life, it's been asa mitaras eva menachai. Now you have a latest a suffix whether it became mutter or not. So you're not allowed to follow the suffix. You have to go to chumra. You have to follow the chazaka meikara. That's Rashi's pshat. So Taisus has a serious problem with this Rashi. Taisus says, wait a second, the isser was eva menachai, but that isser is gone. We know that isser is gone. All right, the animal's dead. There's no issa eiv menachai. Whether the animal was shechted or not shechted. If I eat a nevela, I'm not eiv menachai. It's a different issa. So comes Tais and says, when you have a latest asafik, we have a latest asafik now, whether the animal is also mitad hukas nevela. So that's issa b. So you're going to tell me, well, we have to be machmir because you have a chazaka. What was the chazaka? It was a different issa. It was issa rei. Issa rei was eiv menachai. You have a asafik whether you have an issa nevela now. What does that do chazakas? Says Tais, v'chimach zikin me issa li issa. Do you follow a chazaka from one issa to another issa? That's not called cheskes iser. So Taisa says, you got to quickly find another iser. So what's the iser? So Taisa says, we're stuck. The iser Eved Menachai is over. Iser Nevela didn't exist before it was shechted. So what's the original iser that's still the Mukano I made? So Taisa came up with a new iser. Taisa says that when a person eats an animal that wasn't shechted, besides violating the iser Nevela, he violates another iser. It's called an iser asay of Bezavachta Kashetzi Visicha. The only way you're allowed to consume meat is through the shechita process. Anytime you eat meat, not derech shechita, that's an iser esse. You're in violation of the mitzvah esse of a zavachta, and that's a prohibition. It's like marrying a mitzvah sheni. It's an iser esse. V'zavachta kasher tzivisicha. You're only allowed to eat meat derech zvicha. If you eat it shalom derech shechita, but Tosfos coined a phrase called the iser she'ena zvucha. To eat anything that wasn't shechted is an iser esse bin haTorah. Says Tosfos, you violate that iser esse either if you eat nevela, or if you eat Eved Menachai, because either one is called Dein Azvucha. So there are really three different Yisurim involved in eating meat, not Derech Shechita. One is if you eat meat, Mamash, when it's alive, that's a lav of Eved Menachai. When you eat meat that died without a proper Shechita, that's a lav of Nevela. Either one of those Yisurim carry Malkus with them. And in addition, there's a lav there's an essay that permeates both. There's an essay that's violated in both situations, and that's the essay called She'ena Azvucha. So says Taisus, it's that iser esse of Eina Zvucha that creates the problem of Behemoth Bechaya Becheskes Iser Medes. Because every live animal is Becheskes Iser Eina Zvucha. That iser Eina Zvucha has not been resolved until the Kasha Shechita has taken place. We have a latest asafik whether a Kasha Shechita has taken place. So Mamela was still blight, was still stuck with the original Cheskes Iser of Eina Zvucha. So Taisus came up with an interesting idea that the real problem of Ravuna, the source of Ravuna's statement of Behemoth Bechaya Becheskes is not the Eved Menachai Shiva. It's not the Nevela Shiva. Those are the real Yisurim. Those are the Yisurim that we would have thought. Says Taisus, yes, neither one is relevant. Because the Eved Menachai is long gone. The Issa Nevela, there's no Cheskes Iser on. So the only Iser that we're still dealing with, that has a Cheskes Iser, that has a past history for us, is this new Iser called Eidah Zvuch, which isn't even a lav. It's only in Asei B'Alma. So we have a major Mechlekes Rashi and Taisus. Why is it that the Eved Menachai Cheskes Iser Omedes? Why do we view a Shaila and Hukos Nevela as a question of Cheskes Iser? Either because of the Eved Menachai story, Machzikim Yisr Lis like Rashi, the Rashi holds somehow Iser A transfers into Iser B. What do you say like Taisus? No, that there's Iser C. Iser C is the Iser Derais called Iser She'ena Zvucha. The only problem is that half the Rishonim say there is no such thing as Eidah Zvucha. Where'd that come from? Iser She'ena Zvucha. It's no Gemara about Iser She'ena Zvucha. So Taisus says, no, it's there. It's in between the lines. That's the source for the whole Sugya and Chulin of the Heir Bechaya Becheskes Iser Omedes. I remember when I was, those were here on Friday night, so we, in the Sukkah Shia this week, so I quoted from my Rebbe, from Mordechai Marcus, my Rebbe of mine in 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade. So I remember I said that. I said on Friday night that when we were learning a certain Reb Chaim, so he said under his breath, he said, this Reb Chaim disagrees with another Reb Chaim. And I didn't know what he was talking about. It took 20 years until I found what the other Reb Chaim was. It was a steer between Reb Chaim Menuchas Chametz Matzah and Reb Chaim Menuchas Me'ilah. So it took me 20 years to get to Me'ilah to see it. So he used to have, he was a tremendous, awesome Talmud Chacham. So he very often, he was giving shiur for 10th grade, 11th grade, so he said a lot of alumnus, but he toned it down a little bit for our age. But every once in a while, he would like mumble something under his breath. Like I think he was like trying to plant like a seed here and there, like maybe someday someone will pick up on it. So I remember this sugya also the same thing. We were learning Pesachim, 11th grade, and this sugya about Behemoth Bechaya Becheskes Iser Medes came up there also, about Cheskes Iser and Tzveikas, about Bedikas Chometz, and that's the whole sugya is the beginning of Maseches Pesachim. So I remember he was the one who introduced me to this concept of Behemoth Bechaya Becheskes Iser Medes, Amar Rav Huna. So I remember his lashon, and he said under his breath, he said, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Huna, Behemoth Bechaya Becheskes Iser Medes. Oh, there's been a lot of ink spilled over that statement. That was his lashon. It was 30 years ago. He had a lot of ink spilled. So I was thinking, that doesn't sound that complicated to me. Okay. So now, years later, I started to realize this was the source for Rashi's in Machzik and Lias Elias. You get shmices and pages and pages and svarim. You have toises and shenas, vuchu rabbams, and raivis. The talk has been a lot of ink spilled over the statement of Rav Huna. But anyway, so Rav Huna made the statement that the statement is true, that anytime you have a suffix in a kashkita, no one would matter if it goes lechumra because of cheskes yisrael.
Why is this question even come up in eight after the mother so much of the shochet? He can't be an aid. He's no gaber there. I mean, or even like a woman. Why is he called an aid?
Okay. So we're going to see that the term aid here doesn't carry with it all the connotations of a chazedus. There's no base in here, and the psula and krovim are kosher. Other people, ein echad is kosher. So ein echad here means that, in effect, it's not subject to all the regular rules of a chazedus. And in Chinami, the regular rules of Aldover and Karov and everything doesn't apply. So comes the Gemara in the end of Masechet Yevamos and asks the question, wait a second, he said, if you hold that ein echad and be surin doesn't apply against the cheskes iser, then we have a very serious problem about the application of Erech and Ebisurin in Cheshchita, which is really where we ultimately want it. The most important place that we need Erech and Ebisurin is in Cheshchita. If you think about it, the bottom line is, everyone here ate cholent yesterday, or meat or something yesterday. So understand, there was meat in the cholent yesterday. You had a piece of chicken yesterday. How do you know the chicken was kosher? The teretz is, your wife told you that I bought the chicken. I bought it in Glad Express, right? I bought my chicken. So I bought my chicken in Glad Express. So your wife is a quote-unquote Erechot Ebisurin. That mocha, the cheskuni that I said a couple of weeks ago, so Elliot pointed out correctly, it wasn't, remember I said the cheskuni about women being believed, not being believed, so it's a cheskuni, Pashas Vayera, when Sarah says, Lo tzachakti ki areya, so the cheskuni says, you see from here, that when a woman gets all nervous, she may lie, so therefore she's not accepted as an aid in Beis Din. That's the cheskuni. I mistakenly quoted from Rachel, when Rachel was scared of Lovans, I said, that's where she lied, so that's the cheskuni. Cheskuni is not there, it's a Pashas Vayera. Anyway, nothing else. That was the unique shot in the psul edus. That's not generally assumed. Usually assumed that the psul a woman for edus is exerced because that's why, in fact, the woman is ksheira in erech and ebisurin. That's the biggest raya, because if a woman would really be a chashash meshaker, then she wouldn't be believed in erech and ebisurin. I'm jumping ahead a little bit, so we'll back up. Anyway, getting back to the story. So let's say a person comes home and the wife puts a piece of chicken on the plate. So the wife tells you, "I'm telling you, I bought it in Glad Express. Good erech and ebisurin." We have to go back a second. Wait a second. How do we know the chicken is kosher? Glad Express. You go ask the Mashgiach in Glad Express. He told you, I'm telling you, I got the chicken from a kosher place. Okay, 1 second. You're in Erecha. It's very nice. How do you know where you got it from? So we go back. We track the chicken back to Empire. So we find, we track down Empire, and we ask the Mashgiach at Empire, and the Mashgiach tells me that, yeah, I'm telling you that the chicken is kosher. How does the Mashgiach know? The Mashgiach was standing there and watching every single shechita. No, the Mashgiach is relying on the Sheikhet. The Sheikhet said that the chicken is kosher. So it's maybe a game of broken telephone. Everything is hinging on one word. If there's a Sheikhet sitting an Empire at 3 o'clock in the morning shechting chickens, and I'm sitting down in Tinek and I'm eating my chicken. Erech and Ebisurin, what's the problem? What's the problem? It's against the Cheskes Iser. And the Gemara says in Yevamos that Erech and Ebisurin may not work against the Cheskes Iser. So how do you understand that? What's Pshat? So comes the Gemara and says, no, the Shechita is an exception to the rule. You know why Shechita is an exception to the rule? Because Shechita is biyado. A sheichet has the ability to shecht. A sheichet is biyadah to shecht. It's not like a piece of meat. A piece of meat, I don't know, is the meat kosher, is the meat trafe. What's he going to do about it? He can't make it chaz or not make it chaz. It's not biyadah. Let's say the case of the get. The Eidechi comes and says that the get was written l'shma. How can he can't do anything about it? He's not the husband. He's not the sick. He can't do anything about it. But when it comes to shechita, since it's biyadah to shecht, oh, that's a whole different story. That breaks the limitation of cheskes iser. So we start out as a principle called erech and ebisurin. Then we have a limitation on erech and ebisurin called cheskes iser. But then we have a third principle that saves the day called biyado. It says the Gemara, this din of biyado is not only applicable by cheshchita, it's applicable by other areas of halacha as well. The Gemara gives another mashal. So a government has come to somebody's house in Eretz Yisrael, and they put down a bowl of grapes on the table. So I asked them, oh, really? Were the grapes, were Trumas and Maisers taken off the grapes? So the person says, yes, Trumas and Maisers are taken off. I took off the Trumas and Maisers myself. how you believe, to say Tukhov in terms of Maizis. The fruit has a Cheskes Isser, it was Tevel. Anything that grows in Eretz Yisrael is also to prove in Mutter. Anything that grows, it grows Becheskes Isser. There's an Isser Tevel. Now, when the Eidecha comes and tells me that he was Mafish to Mizan Maizis, how do I believe him? So I go and I buy a product in Eretz Yisrael. It says on a big bold letters, it says, Hufishu to Mizan Maizis, Kedaska Dinah. I walk up to the shop and I read the big petek on the Hufishu to Mizan Maizis, Yom Chof Al Fellow, I dare have a Dacha, I dare have a Who are you to tell me that it was Hofer? There are two Eidim there. There's an Eidecha signed off. One rabbi, one Mashgiach tells me that he was Mafish from Zemaisis. Well, who will you believe? It's Eidecha and every Surin against the Cheskes Isser. So Gemara says, nah, it's Biyado also. It's considered to be Biyado to be Mafish. A person has the ability to be Mafish from Zemaisis. Since you have the ability to be Mafish from Zemaisis, that's called Biyado. Then the Gemara gets very technical. The Gemara says, wait a second. It's Biyado to be Mafish in my own Trumas Zemaisis. Not be yadda to be mafish in your Trumas and Maizis. So how could I be believed to say that your food is kosher? So the Gemara says, that's also be yadda, because in theory, I could take some of my fruit and use my fruit to pot to your fruit. And I love this. If you know enough, that's wrong. You can figure out an Eitzah. Figure out a Kunz, how to be mafish somebody else's Trumas and Maizis also. So comes the Gemara and says, it's be yadda. So Taisus just has some technicalities. Taisus says, what do you mean it's biyadu? It's biyadi tishech? When my wife tells me that the chicken is kosher, so she's not really believed based on erech nevisurin. She's really believed based on biyadu. Says Taisus, what do you mean it's biyadu tishech? She doesn't know how to shecht. So Taisus says, what do you mean she doesn't know how to shecht? So she'll go to school. She'll go to speaker class. It's like Shechita 101 in YU. She'll learn how to shecht. So a woman can shecht? Yeah. Taisus in Gichun Dabbe says, yeah, meeker than a woman can also shecht. The whole story, not for now, but about the women shechting in the Middle Ages, but another time, another place. Anyway, so the bottom line is the Gemara and Taisus say that the bottom line, the reason why the shechting is believed, is because of Biyadu. So there is a major Machlekes Rashi and Taisus in the beginning of Masechus Gittin, how to understand this Nemanos of Biyadu. It took us 20 minutes just to develop the issue of Erech Nebisur. So that we already found the pasuk for you. The Rashi's book, Taisus' book, we have some kind of a source for the Dimin HaTorah of Erech Nebisur. But then the Gemara put the brakes on Erech Nebisur by introducing to us the limitation of a chazaka, that an erechon may not be believed against the status quo. Then the Gemara solved that problem by telling us biyado works. Machlekes Rashi and Tosfos, how to understand what the solution is. So Rashi seems to say what the solution means is as follows. Whatever something is biyado, that's mafkia the cheskes iser. What does cheskes iser mean? Cheskes iser means it's been also for the last 20 years and you want to change things. What? How dare you? What chutzpah you have? You're going to change the status of cheskes ish. Something's been also for so long and you're going to change it. Erech is not believed against the chazaka. Some comes Rashi and says, Bamed v'mamurim, that an erechon is not believed against the chazaka. When the chazaka is really a chazaka, when the chazaka has been around and is not going anywhere, and you have to really, really change it, it's very difficult to change it, but you can change it in a second. Just pick up a knife, learn a little bit of chashchit, and shecht an animal, finished. So, or go ahead and take some grapes, and be mafreshim and maizes, and call it a day. So comes Rashi and says, anytime you have the possibility to change it, that's mafkia the cheskes iser. This is nishkin cheskes iser. A cheskes iser that's nitan to be changed so easily, but it's beyond to change, is ois cheskes iser. It's not a cheskes iser. So maybe let's say lechen, and be sure. So according to Rashi, there is no new nemanus called beyond. It's not like Chazal discovered America. There's a new nemanus called beyond. All biyado does, it undermines the limitation of cheskes iser. Easy come, easy go. You thought you had a cheskes iser, geshmei. That's not such an ayayay cheskes. Such a cheskes iser that could be easily undone is not such a cheskes iser, and therefore it's subject back to the old rule of erech nebisur. This seems to be Rashi's pshat. But Taisus doesn't say this. Taisus says that whatever is a cheskes iser, it's all finished. Erech nebisur doesn't apply. So where does biyado come into the picture? So that's what the Rush explains in the beginning, in Maseches Gittin, that biyado seems to be a new nemanus. Biyado is a new halacha. There's erech nebisurin, that's fine and dandy, that's great. Whenever there's no cheskes iser, once you have cheskes iser, erech nebisurin gets thrown out the window. But there's a new nemanus that saves the day, even when it's biyado. What is biyado based on? So the Rush seems to understand biyado is based on a different understanding. It's based on the idea of bilus. Bilum. If I want to know information about something, where do I go? Who do I turn to? Say, I want to know about this car. So if I want to know all the ins and outs of the car, I go to the owner. So the owner doesn't know too much about the car, but the owner understands. He knows things. I want to find out about a house. I go to the owner. He asks him. He knows the ins and outs. He knows all the details about something. That's a posha the svara that the bailim, someone who's in charge, someone who has this privy to information, he's the one who's going to be able to tell me whatever I want to know. So comes the Rush and says the Torah has that idea in Issa v'Heter as well, that the person who's the owner, the person who's calling the shots, the one who's in charge, the one who's in control, so he's the one who's going to have a certain degree of nemanus. For me to walk at the base and to tell you, I know everything about Reuven's animal. So, oh, are you? What's your shaykhus to Reuven? But for Reuven to come in and say, I know everything about my animal, so that's not an nemanus in halacha. How do you define who's the bailim? The bailim is control. Yeah, it's biyadu. So vis-a-vis hilchas shechita, since I have the ability to shech, it's biyadi physically to go and shech, it's biyadi to go learn hilchas shechita, I can go and train myself to be a sheikh and shech an animal. That gives me a certain degree of bailim, a certain degree of ownership of this animal. Vis-a-vis hilchas shechita. It doesn't give me ownership vis-a-vis hilchas bechorah, it doesn't give me ownership vis-a-vis other serum. But vis-a-vis that area of halacha that's biyadi to deal with, I'm considered to be, in a certain sense, the owner, and that's a new nemanos called biyado slash bailus. So we have machlekes, Rashi, and Tosis, just how are these basic rules playing out in halacha? These are ABCs, we rely on them all the time, whether we know or we don't know it. Going back to your wife's chulent, so your wife tells you there's meat in the chulent, and she tells you the meat is kosher. How do you know it's kosher? So there's a long chain of command going all the way back to the mashgiach somewhere, all the way back to the sheikhet somewhere. What was the ultimate nemanus of the sheikhet? Why do we trust the sheikhet in the first place? Everyone agrees we do. The question is, why is it? So Rashi says, it's Eidech and Bisurin. Ah, it's a chazaka. Yes, that's not a chazaka. It's a biyado. Whatever it's a biyado, it's nishkin chazaka. So according to Rashi, everything falls back ultimately on those four words, Eidech and Bisurin. Whether Eidech and Bisurin applies when there's no chazaka at all, Eidech and Bisurin applies when there is a chazaka, but it's being undone, unraveled by biyado. According to Rashi, everything revolves around those magic words, Eidech and Bisurin. Going to Taisus and going to the Rush, there are two different parishes going on here. There are two very, very different areas of halacha functioning here. There's Eidech and Bisurin, but Eidech and Bisurin only works in the following. Well, let's say, I come and sit down on Pesach, and the wife puts down cookies in front of me on the table, and I ask her, are those cookies made from chametz, or are those cookies made from Pesach flour? It's milsa David Lagluy, I'll taste it as soon as I want. So she tells me, no, they're kosher Pesach cookies. There was no cheskes isser on these cookies. She's an Eidech and Bisurin. She's telling me the cookies are kosher. So I'm allowed to believe her. That's Eidech and Bisurin. That's plain and simple Eidech and Bisurin. That's according to, everybody. But now, according to Tosfos, the fact that my wife tells me that the meat is kosher, that's not Eidech and Bisurin anymore. According to Tosfos and the Rush, the fact that my wife is believed to say the meat is kosher, that's a different emunah. That's an emunah called the other, which is not rooted in Eidech and Bisurin. So at the end of the day, everybody agrees to all the dinim. At the end of the day, I can eat the meat, I can eat the cookies, I can eat everything on the table, as long as my wife tells me that's kosher. But the question is, what's the source for it? Where did it come from conceptually? Is everything just one plain and simple Eidech and Bisurin, or are there two different halachas taking place here? There's Eidech and Bisurin in one case, there's biyado, which is a different emunos taking place. That's the subject of machlokes Rashi and Tosfos.
Why do we trust in a situation where there's a great temptation to lie? Or is that because there's hefsek mamon involved? So there's a great temptation for the shochet to say, of course that is good.
Right, because we assume the Mishnah says in Chorah is that unless a person has a choshed, so we assume that people are shomer Torah mitzvah, so a person is not going to lie, a person is going to overcome the Yetzirah. If a person has indicated to us in the past that they cannot overcome the Yetzirah, then they become a choshed al adavar. So once a person is a choshed al adavar, then ain't lo don lo meida. Then any tach has no nemanus in that area of halacha that he's choshed in. Let's say, for example, you have someone who's he's very careful in Hukkos Kashrus, but he's not as careful, if I would say, in Hukkos Shatnas. So the halacha would be, he would be acceptable to tell you the meat is kosher, but he couldn't be the shatnas checker. So in that area of halacha that he's kosher in, then we have to be nervous that he's going to lie. Unless he becomes someone who's a kosher in kol tarakula. So if someone, let's say, he's a mechal Shabbos. Once he's a mechal Shabbos, he's over there for or he's an apikaris, he's someone who's a kosher in kol tarakula. So then, even though he may look like he's keeping his kashrus, he's not going to have any amonos of his kashrus either, because we assume that once he's a mechal Shabbos, there's nothing going to stop him from ultimately eating treif either. So based on everything that we said in terms of the lumdus, either it's Eidech and Bisurin or it's Biyado, whatever the story is, the bottom line is we invoke all these principles of halacha. Now we have to go back to what, at least according to Tosfos, was the very mokor for the din of Eidech and Bisurin, and that was going back to Chos Nida. Now we have a very real problem to deal with. how in the world does a woman believe to say that she's no longer an Edom, no longer a Zava? A woman comes to a husband, she says, I just finished Kalkei Shivinikim, I did my Bedikas, Shivinikim are over, I just went to the Mikvah Amuteras. So stop, one second, how you believe? How in the world does the woman believe? We touched on this a little bit in Hilchas Nida, now we have to come out from the Sveikas angle. So let's go through the Cheshbon, why does the woman believe? So our initial reaction would be, say, Echad Yisurin, according to Tosfos, forget, that was the Mokon Echad Yisurin. Not so simple. L'chor, this is a Cheskes Issar. I know that she was an Edom. She's been a Surah for the last 2 weeks. So now she's trying to change that status. So isn't that a problem? Isn't that considered to be a violation of invoking an Echad Yisurin against the Cheskes Issar? So comes Tosfos to get the Beis and asks this Kasha. And Tosfos says as follows. Tosfos says, no, it's still okay. Why is it still okay? So Tosfos says two reasons. Tosfos says, first of all, the Chiderach Liros Li'aylam. Is a woman going to bleed forever? Most women have a period of a couple of days and finish. Sure, the bleeding has to stop. Chiderach isha liros la'olam. And then Taisa says, "Oy, biyada litvol." She has the ability to go to the mikvah. The mikvah is here in front of her, so she can go to the mikvah. It's biyada. At kan divya Taisa. So what does Taisa mean? It's a sister Taisa. Taisa just seemed to throw two different things at us. So the Marsha and that Taisa explains what Taisa is addressing as follows: that anytime a woman comes and says that she's no longer nida, she's going up in a certain sense against a double chazaka. She's really contradicting two different chazakas. What are the two chazakas? One is a chazak of Metzias, and one is a chazak of halachic status. The chazak of Metzias was, last week she was bleeding. That was a physical, biological statement. She was bleeding. So she was bleeding last week, she was bleeding 5 days ago, she was bleeding 4 days ago, she was bleeding 3 days ago. Now she, in effect, has told us the bleeding stopped. For Safla, she was young. She said, I did bedikas for a whole week, there's no more blood. So, but she's changing her status. She used to be bleeding, and now she's not bleeding. So that's what Taisa says, nah, that's not called a chazak. A woman bleeding, a woman having a period, is not called a cheskes issur. You know why? Derech liros li'olam. So that type of a chazaka built into the chazaka that's going to change. It's a type of a chazaka that's about to change in 5 days anyway. It's not a chazaka. Chazaka means a woman was an eishes ish. So, and the woman who's an eishes ish is not omedes lekach to become eishes ish. She's supposed to remain married. So that's called a cheskes issur. Or let's say behema bechiya becheskes isra medes. That's called a cheskes issur. Not every animal is going to be shechted. Some animals will be, won't be. It's not something that naturally part of an animal being born is that it's going to be shechted. So, but over here, a woman is the chidarka liros li'olam. It's part of the teva derar. The Rebbeinu Shlom built the teva that eventually she's going to stop bleeding. So, therefore, it's not a chazaka. But says the Marsha, but there's a second problem. Even though it's not a chazaka that she's going to see dam, but she's a cheskes tumah. If a woman saw dam last week and now she stopped bleeding, if she doesn't go to the mikvah, she's a surly olam vod. She had a period 30 years ago. She's still a surly olam vod until she goes to the mikvah. So every nida is in a sense a double chazaka. She's a chazaka mitam mitzias mitam biology, and she's a because she has a cheskes tumah. That's the second half of Taisa. Taisa says, nah, that's beyond the litvol. That tumah, once the bleeding is stopped, that we already, iskapaska, the bleeding stopped, because it was never chazak, she's going to bleed forever anyway. So now all you have to reckon with is the cheskes tumah. Yeah, cheskes tumah, beyond the litvol, the mikvah's in front of her, so it's beyond the litvol. So that's not called the chazaka. Either Rashi pshat, Taisa pshat, beyond the, whatever the lomdus of beyond is. So comes the Marsha and says, that's why Taisus had to throw in two different factors here. The only way to explain why a woman is believed, Lamaisa, to say she went to the mikvah, is only because we were able to clear up the chazaka of Roa, because it's a chazaka which is built into change, and we were able to clear up the cheskes tumah because it's beyond the litvol. So this is all Taisus l'shitasa, because Taisus understood that Nida is really the prototype of Erech and Bisurin, that what's happening in Uchus Nida is really defining what's happening in Uchus Kashas also. But the Ramban disagreed. The Ramban in Gittah Bey said, nah, the Nemanas Uchus Nida breaks all the rules. The Torah hadn't have it that way. You can't just get a Kashas from Uchus Nida. You can't be any right from Uchus Nida. According to the Ramban, the Uchus Nida is in its own world, so then the whole Kashas of Taisus didn't get off the ground. So the Ramban would answer the Taisus, it's a Cheskes Issur. Good, thank you. Thank you very much. It's a Cheskes Issur. And she's still in menace, because otherwise the Yefshin of the world couldn't function to require two Edim to say the woman's not a Nida. So you have a major Machlekes Taisus in the Ramban, how to understand Hukos Nida in light of what this should have been the bridge. It should have been the first year of the Sveikas. This is the bridge between Hukos Nida and the singers of Sveikas. How do we understand the ABCs of Hukos Nida? How is a woman in a menace to say she's not a Nida? According to Taisus, it's working with the regular rules of Erech and Abisur and Biyado and Chazakas. You just have to plan all the rules properly and explain why why we can apply all the regular rules that we've been talking about. According to Rabban, don't spend your time figuring out why the rules work. They don't work. There are no rules in Hilchos Nida. Hilchos Nida is its own two words. B'safra Allah finished. B'safra Allah says she's in Eirechad, it doesn't matter. It's Tavash Shabir, it doesn't matter. It's a Chazak, it doesn't matter. She's a woman, it doesn't matter. Nothing matters. B'safra Allah Yatzma, Kach Gazra Teira, that the woman is in that menace. Apol Panim. Everyone agrees there is a principle called Eirechad Amisurin, and we assume, at least many of the Shem Paskin, that Eirechad Amisurin is limited by Cheskes Isser. B'yado saves the day. What's the nature of B'yado saves the day is up for a question, and how this all plays out in terms of the Chesnita ultimately becomes a Machlek Yisdais in the Ran, beginning with 7th year. No, for this Shem next week, we'll try to continue with some of these calls. As I said last, we're coming to pretty much towards an end in terms of these Sugyas.